Broadcasting live from Business Radio X Studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Learning Insights, featuring learning professionals, improving performance to drive business results.
Welcome back to an exciting and informative edition of Learning Insights. This is your host, Stone Payton, and in the studio with me this morning is my good buddy and co-host, Lee Cantor. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Stone. How are you doing?
I am doing well, getting ready for hot dogs for Halloween. You know, we do the big party in the cul-de-sac with the adult beverages for after dark, but we also have hot dogs and goodies for all the kids. What do you guys do in your neighborhood?
It's just they congregate at our house, and then we kind of in mass walk around the neighborhood.
And so do you give out the candy bars?
Well, no? We have a bowl of them out. But we have, like, bad candy for the strangers and good candy for the friends and
for
family.
For the neighbor kids. Right. Exactly. So we give out, and we have the reputation for this, full-size Hershey bars.
That's our little year, we did king-size. And then the neighbors didn't like that.
And then the credit card bill came.
The neighbors didn't like that. That was a bridge that we shouldn't have crossed.
So it's going to be an exciting day. We're all going to be hopped up tomorrow for tomorrow's shows as a result of tonight's candy. But we have a fantastic interview this morning. We are going to get a chance to visit with instructional design manager extraordinaire, Mr. Richard Cotts. Welcome to the show, man.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, we are delighted to have you. What does an instructional designer and an instructional designer manager leadership guy do for a living?
Well, what I do is, as an independent contractor through Training Pros, I am a contractor, senior project manager for Cotts Communications. And what I do for those folks is I manage their instructional design process for all of their Cotts business projects, educating the sales team and the sales engineering force for Cotts Communications.
So there must be some real methodology then behind the training that you're delivering for these folks. It sounds like there has to be a lot of forethought and energy put into the way things are framed up, the way it's delivered, the media, all of these things. And you're managing that process and the people that have to execute it, huh?
Absolutely. Yep. From the beginning, organized from the beginning, I've got a process that I use is Addy-based, a little bit. It's been customized over the years. I've been doing this for a while.
It's the Cotts method, the Richard method.
Right. The Cotts for Cotts method.
That's right.
So what do you got? You got family connections there? How'd you get
I wish. We did some undercover boss jokes when I first walked the door, but those faded pretty quick.
So you have methodology that you lean on. You don't go in here willy-nilly and just try to throw this thing together.
Absolutely not. I walk in with a plan.
Now, what's it like when you're a contractor and then you're hiring contractors, right?
Absolutely.
So, like, how do you kind of get in the head of the client in order for them, you know, to deliver what they're ultimately looking for?
Well, I'm there on behalf of the client. I do a lot of scoping, a lot of upfront work, a lot of diligence, a lot of digging into the project, a lot of scoping, and a lot of documentation. So when the client or when the contractor finally shows up, a lot of this has already been worked out and planned, and they just step into the role. And from that point, we're educating and we're filling in the gaps and putting it together.
Now, you've done this in the corporate world on staff as well. Tell us a little bit about the differences and what that experience was like. The differences in that, and then being out in the contract arena.
You mean as a client myself?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because Cotts has really been a unique experience. But prior to my Cotts life, I started off in the Air Force as a trainer and sat next to the instructional design guys and watched that process. And that's where I learned my craft. I was through the military. Actually, that's some of the best training I've ever seen.
They've got it figured out.
They do a very good job from top to bottom. From that point, I dropped into the corporate. I left the military in the 2000 and went to AT&T Wireless. And as an instructional designer there, I learned the skills of the corporate world, which is very different from the military. So that was the beginning of my education and my transition over to how the corporate world does it. After that point, I went into a contractor arena myself for a few years, finished rounding out my skill set as a designer, and ended up at a role at Earthlink, which is my first management role as an instructional design leader. I had a pretty large team there. It was kind of like being thrown into the fire because it was quite a large team. Lots of designers, lots of contractors, actually, at that time. This is before I had met my friends at Training Pros. We did a lot of outsourcing there. We did a lot of insourcing there. And so I learned how to deal with the contract world at that point. Um, and, And from there, I went to Matria Healthcare as a director of learning. Didn't have quite as large a team, but had a much larger geographical footprint.
This guy can't hold a job. Right. No, that's a pretty impressive resume, man. Matria, yeah. AT&T, that's fantastic. You must be doing good work wherever you are.
I hope so.
Now, can you talk a little bit about the transition from going from the military to a corporate environment? Because, you know, I would imagine that's kind of a tough one. Because we talk a lot of executives who are going from a corporate environment to an entrepreneurial, and that adjustment is pretty rough. Now, what is it like to go from military, where there's so much structure, so much discipline, into a corporate world?
Actually, it's been a benefit to me. It made my transition pretty easy. I got to take what I learned from the military into the corporate world, and the organization is not as prevalent as it is in the military, like you stated, but it's needed. I mean, they want
right.
it.
Right, exactly. I would think that they were hungry for it.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's actually, I'm able to market myself as a contractor quite well because of that infrastructure.
Right, I would imagine that gives you an edge. If they're looking at two different people, one that has your military background, and even if the other person has even more corporate, I would think that they would give you a shot with your military background. I would think that's an advantage.
Well, I think the biggest benefit that I've gained from it is that if you go into a situation organized and with a systematic approach to it, you're ready for the things that come up that aren't the norm, that aren't, you know, that you need to be flexible on, and you're way ahead of the game. You can keep control of the situation better because you've got your ducks lined up, and that's really what I base a large part of my success on.
So when you're on the corporate side of the desk, how do you decide whether you're going to engage contract instructional designers or make the investment in someone in-house and put them on the payroll?
Yeah, it's situational. For in-house, those are the projects that are complex, require a lot of business acumen, you know, internal to the business. Maybe a system that's involved, I would want to keep that a close hold on that. If there's a new system in play, just because there's a learning curve, and there's also those kind of projects tend to delay and bump off. And when you're on a timeline that you're paying for, delays aren't always such a good budget. So
this guy could run for office.
but when I look for external help, most of the time it's supplemental. I just need more folks, you know, in the seats. Usually they're supplementing a lead instructional designer. Now at Cox it's different. Cox runs a lean organization. So a lean full-time organization. So they lean heavily on contracted services. Uh-huh. I mean, I'm there in a management role, and I'm hiring contractors to come in and do ID work. They run a nicely knit organization. It's actually been eye-opening because I've never worked in that model. We've always had full-time designers, and then we bring in a few contractors as we need. But this place is all contract help, and you know, so it's interesting to see how that all plays out.
Now, when you're working with Cox, Cox is a big conglomerate. I mean, they have lots of their fingers are in a lot of pies. Are you working for Cox Corporate in general, or in one of their niches?
I'm at Cox Communications. It's not corporate. It's one of the niches.
Okay, so which niche are you doing?
It's the cable, the internet, Wi-Fi networking.
Right. So their instructional design there, does then that roll out to their other areas, or each area has their own kind of unique challenges?
Each area, they're pretty focused. They're each area has its own challenges. Mm-hmm. They don't spread out.
So how do you go about finding good contract help successfully every time? Do you have like this interview format?
A go-to bench where you call on?
Well, I start out my process for hiring with an organization. I organize what the scope is. I get a good set of requirements so that when I call a vendor, they know what I'm looking for.
You know what you want before you ever pick up the
right,
phone.
Right, right. Now we've got a good pool of vendors that we use at Cox. I got to tell you, one of my go-to folks is Training Pros. Leanne Langford at Training Pros has really been amazing with getting us good talent. What they do at Training Pros is they vet their talent. So I know what I'm getting before I even call Leanne. I know that what I'm looking for from that point is not so much qualifications, but a good fit to my project.
So then for you, all you're looking for like is culturally if they're a fit?
Right. Right, culturally, and I mean their background, their experience. I mean it's telecom, it's different. You can't bring someone from the CDC necessarily, or I'm just using that as an example. It's something that's way different from a different industry, and pull them in. They have to have some tie to it. Not that it's a showstopper, but that is something I consider. I mean there's a lot of talent out there a big pool.
So now, how do you get them up to speed once you've chosen them?
Well, my process.
Isn't that the magic?
That's the magic, man. That's the magic. Well, my process being that I try to keep things organized. I've got things scoped out. I've already got things in place for a contractor.
Do you use checklists?
I use a project plan.
Project plan?
Step by step, line item. Microsoft project and everything, man, is lined up. But I just come into the door. They come in the door in an organized situation. I've got SMEs identified for them. They've got, they know where to go. And we're just setting expectations, educating clients on what's next, and then we just implement. They fill in the blanks.
So what are the pitfalls if maybe you don't have the checklist or you don't have Leanne Langford
at the other end of the project plan.
I'm sorry. If you don't have a project plan or you don't have Leanne Langford at the other end of the line with Training Pros, what are some of the pitfalls that a company might get into when they're engaging contract folks?
I think the most difficulty I've had is, we talk about finding that fit for the right contractor for the right job. I think what's most difficult for me is there's different type of contractors. Contractors out there that that live for contracting, and they'll take on as many clients as they can. And there are certainly situations where that's a good fit, but not always. And most of my experience, from what I'm finding that I deal with, I have projects that I need, exclusivity. They need to be dedicated and totally committed. It's almost a full-time job. So I find it a little difficult to find that kind of a fit when I'm dealing with contractors.
So if like they're working on like two projects or three, and their attention is split,
right,
so you find that you don't get the results that you're
at
you
some
need?
Point they're going to get tied up. They're going to they're going to spread a little too thin. So I just try to alleviate that up front when I'm screening folks. I talk right to that, and I'm very very open about that concern, and it usually works out. We agree to walk on from each other, or we agree, hey, this can work out, so let's see what's next.
So is Kevin got his headphones on? Because we're good. Project plan and focus.
And dedicated attention.
Right. This has been fantastic for our own personal
integrity, accountability. Yeah, absolutely.
He's got his own list here. So I want to dive into this whole area of instructional design a little bit, because I think a lot of our listeners, all of whom ought to be interested in instructional design, they probably don't know a whole lot about it. Tell us a little bit more, if you will, about some of your approaches to instructional design and why people should, take a breath and put some energy in that before they just go boldly forward with a training curriculum.
Well, an instructional designer that's got their skill base that's well-rounded, they're going to come at any informational transfer with the learner in mind. They're going to want to be able to take, you can do an informational dump, and what they're going to do is they're going to take that and they'll see it differently than you do. They'll see, okay, that's a conversation, that's a discovery dialogue, that's a possibly an assessment question. They'll start seeing objectives come out in that process, and they'll be able to help you. They'll be able to consult you and help you nail down what is important for those learners to grasp from a concept or from a set of from methodology, and they'll be able to nail that down to what is important, and then they'll be able to format that in a manner that's deliverable, whether it's whatever media they chose to deliver it, whether it's instructor-led or e-learning. That will be decided later, but that's what an instructional designer brings to the table. They bring that expertise, the concern for the learner in mind, and hopefully provide a solution or a direction that you can take that to get the successful results you need.
Well, there's an idea. Decide the media after you've really gone through your objectives and your learner, as opposed to, wow, this is sexy.
Let's
we could do training
on
a
phone. Now, how are you held accountable by the people at Cox? Are there some things in place that kind of can tell if you're doing what you were contracted to do?
I try to stay organized in that department as well. I run status sheets for all my projects. I report up and out. I work hard to keep my status up to date at all times and ready for my leadership to come in if they got questions. Between our weekly meetings, they can go in there and look. It's available. It's on SharePoint. It's communicable, and they can use it in their meetings. So I just do what I can to work up and out as well as manage down. So
what's your favorite part about the job, and what do you find a little bit challenging from time to time, if not downright frustrating?
My favorite part is closing out a project plan. When I'm done,
checking all the boxes.
Yeah, you usually have, two or three months wrapped up in these things, and some days are, pretty tough around just making all the ducks line up. But so I love closing out projects. I think the most difficult part is getting the organization. I mean, the organization, I talked a lot about educating clients. I find that we have to do that throughout, even to this day. I mean, instructional design has been around for years and years and years, and we still have to educate clients every time we get into a project, it seems. So I keep visuals in place. You know, I keep things in place that I can just pull out and say, here's how we do things. You know, here's your handshake right here, and here's your handshake here, and here's your handshake here. And they know what's coming. So I think it's the most difficult part is getting to those handshakes and getting to where they feel comfortable with what's next. Sometimes they want to micromanage a little bit, or, you know, and I try to give them the confidence that we know what we're doing, that we're going to deliver what we say we're going to deliver. So.
Now, do you have any, can you share maybe a story about how you've come into a situation, it may not have been at Cox, but somewhere in your career, where you've come in and done something that you're really proud of?
I would say probably my most challenging management role that was probably the most rewarding was my time at Matri Healthcare. I came into an organization that had a big learning need and a very large learning audience with a small subset of nurses that had been told that, hey, you're good at what you do. Let's see if you can train. Oh, and by the way, you get to build your own training. So I had nurses that were, you know, desk chair nurses, usually phone. Right.
They've
on the
never
phone,
done any of
never
this.
Never done ID before. And we had to bring them up to speed on ID concepts. And within, you know, just a short time, we were off to the races and turning out some of the best content I've seen. I mean, they're some of those have gone on to continue instructional design as opposed to nursing. That's a pretty big, you know,
wow.
That's fantastic.
What a testimonial. Mm-hmm. So you find yourself particularly early in the process, but it sounds like maybe throughout the process and even closing it out, you're also spending quite a bit of time engaging with the executives, the decision makers, the people that are trying to get their arms around what they need and want. What is that like? That's got to be a real challenge.
Well, I mean, it's not, you know, the way I go to work, I go to work thinking, okay, I'm going to work for my team. I work for Cox and I work for an executive crew, but I really work to make my team successful and to break down the things that are holding them up. So when I'm in these meetings, I'm thinking about my team, what they need to get to the next step, what they need to get to be successful. So I find that if I keep that focus in mind, that the interactions with the folks are consistent and relatively easy. They understand, you know, what I'm doing and why I'm doing it. So communication is key, and you know, having a path and setting that expectation up front is key to getting through that and making those interactions and those exchanges easier and pleasant. But yeah, I've got no problem. I'm a captain in the Air Force. I've been dealing with upper crust for years, so they put their pants on just like I do.
Well, but that's got to really take some ability to be professionally confrontive and have confidence in what you're doing, because I'm sure it's tempting for most of us. It would be for me to just tell the executive whatever he or she wants to hear, knowing that that's not the right path, and to challenge them and do it in a way that they can hear it so that you really deliver the best result for them. That takes a certain fortitude, confidence, competence that is probably a little rarer than some of us would like to admit, right?
Well, I have to admit, I talk to my team about their politics quite a bit, and we talk about those interactions and, you know, how you're presenting yourself. And, you know, I look for, one of the things I look for in an instructional designer, especially a contractor, is assertiveness. I like assertive contractors. I like assertive IDs that can exude that confidence and that can show they know what they're doing. I mean, that just makes our whole team look better, you know, and especially when you deliver and you do what you said you would do. You know, the follow-up's key, the communication's key, and the confidence is key.
So now we know why he clicked so well with Leanne Langford.
There you go.
It's all coming together now. I want to dive into this media thing. We kind of joked about it, but we are seeing training delivered in all these platforms, from the phone to the computer to stand-up. Speak to that a little bit. Is there some broad stroke criteria triage that you use that you know immediately? Look, in a million years, we're not putting this on the phone, and we got to do it this way. Talk to that a little bit, if you would.
Well, from my experience, the business sets the pace on that a lot. I mean, I've had opportunity to influence those things a little bit throughout my career. And I mean, once or twice, I mean, like when I was at Earthlink, I got to select the tool base that we use, which is great. And we built a team from the ground up there, which, you know, when you're picking people and tools and then you're doing what you need to do. I mean, to me, that was
nice.
My most favorite role, because I got to do it like you learned it in college, you know. But I find that lately when I walk in the last 10 years or so, when I walk into a business, they're typically already down that path. I mean, tools have saturated the industry, and it's not uncommon, you know, it's not common to walk into a place that's not technologically advanced in some way around training. So, the business usually sets a pace and we have to adjust within that. At Cox, I've been fortunate. I got to hire, a couple of contractors that were very, Tool Astute, you know, one probably the best Captivate designer I've ever seen, and she moved us up to the next level. She got us into Captivate 6, which adds a lot of quality to, you know, it's a good.
And Captivate is screen capture.
It's a capture tool, and then some. I mean, you can. It's a great tool. It's a powerful tool. It's not Flash, but it does quite a bit. And it's getting, you know, tools are getting closer and closer to Flash type of development. So, for her to come and have that influence was pretty cool. And you know, I learn a lot from everybody I meet and everybody I deal with. I learn something from them. So. That's what keeps it exciting and interesting.
But for you, you're personally kind of platform agnostic, and you can work around with any situation?
Yeah. My role's situational and more around decision-making and around process management than tool-centric.
Well, that's another thing that you've got to work your way through is you are dealing with competent, confident instructional designers sometimes that are not on the company payroll. They're smart. They have their own ideas. That's got to be a challenge, too, just managing a team of competent people.
Well, I think one of the benefits that I enjoy from my experience and Leanne does as well is that we come from instructional design. We've done it. We've been in the ditches.
Right.
We've been in the trenches. So we know what it takes to get, you know, something across the finish line. And, you know, as professionals in this industry, we stay aware of the tools and the, you know, and the software and the capabilities that are out there. So it makes those interactions, you know, with the, when we're hiring, we're talking to those situations pretty easy to get through because, you know, we're smart to it. So.
And you all respect each other, it sounds.
Absolutely,
like.
Yeah. And it's a smaller circle than you think in Atlanta. I mean, you run into the same people everywhere you go.
Now, if you were giving any counsel to, like you were mentioning, like your bosses, what kind of criteria would you have them use when they're deciding whether to hire contractors?
I think that the biggest challenge is for business nowadays is having an infrastructure that meets the business needs. So I try to be a consultant around that role to help them make sure they're lining up to, you know, with resources to meet the need. I mean, nothing looks worse than you're sitting at the end of a project that everybody's working on and the training's not ready, you know, because you didn't have time to get it done or you didn't have the resource to get it done. So I just make sure that they understand what the surge requires, you know, what we need to put in place to get this finished. So I feel like being that I have that insight, that foresight, I can be a good proponent of that and help them keep them out of trouble.
So what's next for you? Where are you going to invest your energy in the coming 6, 8, 10 months?
Well, I'm going to stay at Cox. I'm really having fun here. I'm enjoying what I'm doing. Great team, great product. I'm going to keep pressing forward with my affiliations in Atlanta. You know, I'd like to be more involved in the ASTD and the TAG. I've gotten away from those things. I've got a second career in the military. I'm a captain up at Dobbins Air Force Base. So. I'm up for major in January, so that's a pretty big deal. I got a lot of preparation to do for that, so that's probably where my focus will be.
Well, you're a busy guy.
I'm a very busy guy.
Now, what are you doing anything to kind of stay on top of all the technological changes and how the industry is kind of evolving?
I stay into publications. I speak with I network quite a bit around those things. If I have questions, I have folks, you know, that I can go to and call and ask And I'm at that all the time. I think part of getting into these, you know, getting back into these organizations that I've gotten away from in the last few months keeps that acumen up as well. You know, that's a lot of things that are talked about. Training Pros sponsors a lot of events that premiere these things or preview these things for you. Just trying to stay in the mix, you know, stay out there and stay in the network.
And so with all your technology ability, you think you can get our website back up?
Let me take a crack at it. I'll just...
Well, it has been an absolute delight having you come in this morning. We got to have you come back sometime and maybe talk through a specific project. I think it might be fun, Lee, to get a panel of instructional designers or a team together and kind of talk them through that project.
Yeah, that'd be good.
That'd be an interesting show,
no
doubt.
You be up for that?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, until next time, this is Stone Payton for Lee Cantor and our guest this morning, Richard Cox, and everyone here at the Business Radio X family saying we'll see you next week on Learning Insights.